Luke 11:9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Luke 11:9. Psalm 91:11. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Psalm 91:11. Psalm 55:22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He shall never let the righteous fall. Psalm 55:22. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man whose trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Jeremiah 17:7. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. And Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your care and not for calamity, to give you a future with hope. Jeremiah 29:11. Would you open your Bibles, please, to James 5:13. James 5:13. We spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our scripture reading and our study for today. Father, we rejoice in the fact that we belong to you. We're members of the royal family, heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful that we're saved by your grace. We're heaven-bound, not because we deserve to be, but because of everything you provided for us. When God loved, he loved the world. And when Christ died, he died for everyone. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're thankful for that passage of Scripture, plus so many others that reveal to us beautifully the fact that the only way of salvation is through the person of Jesus Christ, the one who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. In these moments now we're studying, help us to turn our attention away from all the distractions and focus our minds upon these magnificent, beautiful, eternal truths. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the first service, we looked at the subject, no Christian is immune from trouble. There's no question in our minds about that. Sickness, bereavement, disappointment, persecutions, loss of health or property. The word that's used in our passage of Scripture refers to suffering of various kinds, of any kind. And then the Scripture says, let him pray. That reveals the fact that prayer is appropriate at all times. The mind naturally resorts to it in every day, in every proper way. God only can remove the source of sorrow. He can grant unto us a happy issue in the midst of our afflictions. He can make them, the difficulties, the means of sanctifying the soul. It matters not what the form of the trial may be. It is a privilege of every born-again believer to go to God in prayer. And it is an inestimable privilege. Health fails. Friends die. Property is lost. Disappointments come our way. Danger threatens. Death approaches. And to whom shall we go but to our Lord? He ever lives, the Bible says. He never fails. He never disappoints us. This would be a sad world, wouldn't it, if we didn't have the Lord to whom we could go? The last resource of millions who suffer. And I'm here to tell you that there are millions who suffer. If we didn't have the Lord, all of that wonderful privilege would be taken away, and men would be denied the access of the throne of grace. As it is, there is no one so poor that he may not pray. No one so desolate and forsaken that he may not find God as a friend. And no one so brokenhearted that he's not able to allow God to bind a broken spirit. One of the designs of affliction is to lead us to the throne of grace. And it's a happy result of the difficulties and the trials if we're led by our trials to seek God in prayer. Prayer is always appropriate, no doubt about that. That's what we see in our verse today. James 5:13 says, "Suffers anyone among you? Let him pray." Let's stop for a few moments and look at that word, "let him pray." That's really not the best way to translate it at all. I did you an injustice by translating it that way. Because if you'll look at the way the verb is used, you will see that that's really not the way it should be translated. It's a present, middle, imperative verb. Preacher, tell us about it. Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Since you ask, I'm going to tell you. That's a present, middle, imperative verb. Present tense means continuous action. Middle voice says the subject participates in the action and is benefited thereby. The imperative mood is the mood of command. It should not be translated, "let him pray." Leave off "let" and just pray. You pray. That's a command. And that's what's beautiful about this verse of Scripture. Prayer is always appropriate, and we're not denied the throne of grace. I repeat, health fails, friends die, property is lost, disappointments come our way, danger threatens, death approaches, and the question is always, to whom shall we go? It has been said, and I repeat what I said a few moments ago, no one is so poor that he may not pray. No one is so desolate and forsaken that he may not find a friend in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and sins to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. No one is so brokenhearted that the spirit cannot be bound. In fact, affliction, suffering will lead us to God's throne of grace. If you look at the verse, let's analyze it now. You'll notice that there's a lot said here, and on Wednesday night we'll talk about the latter part of the verse, where it says, "Is there anyone cheerful? Sing." Some of you would be better probably not singing. But I would think that all of us are commanded to sing, and so it's okay. You can carry a tune, or if you can't carry a tune, it's okay to sing. That's what we're commanded here. We'll talk about that on Wednesday night. The first part of the verse says, suffers. As I've already emphasized, that's an interesting passage of Scripture. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that the preacher always enjoys analyzing verbs and nouns. And I looked at this word, and I wanted to tell you that I found at least 5 verbs that describe the word suffer, or the word affliction. It is the word kakoo, K-A-K-O-O. Most of you don't want this information. That's okay. Let me just enjoy it for a few moments, and then I'll move on so you can enjoy the next part. The second verb is kaukume, ukeo, which is the same word, but it's a verb, and it's a combined word that emphasizes affliction, that the person has the ability to endure affliction. The next verb is kakopatheo. Patheo is the verb which means pathos, for instance, or pain, and the word kakos or kakos, which means, again, that which is bad. And then there's the word thalipo, thalibo, T-H-I-L-I-B-O. An interesting verb, I'll talk about it when I get to the nouns, because you've heard it before. And then there is T-A-L-A-P-O-R-E-O. Those are 5 different verbs, and I'm not going to spend any time anymore there. But I want you to go now to the nouns. There is the word kakopathia, which is K-A-K-O-P-A-T-H-E-I-A. And that, again, is the word that we've already analyzed. Pathos, which means pain, bad, evil, affliction, is the first part of the word. The next noun is kakosis, K-A-K-O-S-I-S, interesting word. The next word is P-A-T-H-E-M-A. And then the next one is the word that you've heard me use many, many times. It is the Greek word philipsis. Remember that? I've said that so many, many times. The word philipsis is the word which means intense pressure. And I've always described it by putting concrete slabs on each side of you, front or back of you, and then a concrete slab being lowered down upon you. And that concrete slab on the top fits inside of those four concrete walls. And so here's a person inside this. That heavy concrete barrier is being lowered, hits you on the top, you bend over, hits you on the back, you bend over, hits you on the back again, you bend over, you get down on your knees. That heavy concrete barrier continues to be lowered. Finally, you realize you can't get forward, you can't get back, you can't get to the side. You got to do something, so you stretch out face down, your body out, and then that lower, but then there's the lowering of that heavy concrete barrier down upon your back until it squeezes you to the point that you're suffocating. That's the meaning of the word philipsis. Now, some of you may have faced some problems and troubles along the way, and you felt somewhat like that. You felt like the pressures of illness, the pressures of suffering, of affliction, of heartache, of various types of things happening. And you've said, oh my, I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to get through this. How can I get through this? And this, here's the point. Remember that we are not denied the throne of grace. We're not denied the throne of grace. That's what this says. It doesn't say, think about praying. If you want to pray, not that at all. It says, you find yourself in a position in your life and you don't doubt God one iota, you pray. It's a command to pray. Now notice also that it's a present tense, continues to pray. And then it's a middle voice which says, the subject participates in the action and you'll be benefited thereby. I can't tell you how powerful and precious and wonderful the middle voice is. The middle voice says that you as a believer have the wonderful opportunity to come to the throne of grace. And the Bible says, let us come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we are commanded to come to the throne of grace, not just when things are prosperous and good, but when things are difficult and bad for us. And when we participate in that, we're going to be benefited thereby. I've got 10 points. Let me give them to you quickly in relationship to the subject of prayer. This is very interesting. The believer in prayer is approaching the throne of grace. And when we approach the throne of grace, our hearts must be compatible with the name of the area where prayer is received. Now, I know that's a complicated, long sentence, but let me say it again. When we approach the throne of grace, our hearts must be compatible with the name of the area where prayer is received. It's called a throne of grace. So if it's a throne of grace, and we're approaching the throne of grace, our hearts must be compatible with the name of the place to which we are going to pray and where the prayer is going to be received. It's called the throne of grace. So all prayer then, number one, must be compatible with grace. Very powerful indeed. Number two, what is grace? Grace is the presentation of the integrity of God. It's what God is like. That's what grace is like. So grace is the policy of the integrity of God in the fact that He is in the business of imputing blessings from His justice to the righteousness of God indwelling in the believer. Now, you've got to put all this together. In other words, here we have an emphasis upon the imputation of the blessings of the justice of God to the individual who is a believer who has already been the recipient of God's righteousness. All right, let me say it again. Grace, then, is the policy of God's integrity in the imputation of blessings from His justice to the righteousness of God in the believer. In other words, there's a grace pipeline, we could call it. It starts out with God and ends up with a believer. I can't think of anything better than that. If something starts out with God and ends up with me, can you beat that? It can't be beat. In other words, on God's end, there's holiness that reveals His justice. At the believer's end, on the other half, there's God's imputed righteousness. So we pray then on the basis of God's righteousness that's already been imputed to us, and the answer comes from His justice. Look at it. Get that in your thinking, how wonderful it is. That's the kind of God we have. Number three, prayer is a privilege. Prayer is a privilege. It's the function of the royal priesthood. It's therefore a powerful weapon. It's in the hands of all believers. And the greatest thing for us to see is when we are in harmony with the Lord, we're properly related to Him, we have access to this powerful weapon. And He's commanding us here in this verse. No, not let us pray. It's a command. Pray. 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 It's a command. And you'll be benefited if you do it. Middle voice. Number four. Since grace is the principle of prayer, no believer can petition for himself or make any intercession for others on the basis of, I'm so good, my morality, my ability, my production, my spiritual gifts. We don't come to God on the basis of who we are. We come to God on the basis of who He is. See the difference? Wow. Since grace is the principle of prayer, believers can petition for himself, but he cannot do it on the basis of his own human merit, ability, morality, production, or spiritual gifts. That's number four. That was a big one, wasn't it? Number five. Every believer approaches the throne of grace on the basis of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest. If you don't put anything else down, put down the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest, and we can approach His throne on the basis of the fact of His merits on our behalf. I know I'm going fast, but I'm trying to go through these 10 points for you. Number six. The Father, the Bible says, is satisfied or propitiated with the work of Jesus Christ. He's no respecter of persons. We all know that. Therefore, when you and I come to prayer, we must approach God, the Heavenly Father, in prayer. Here it is. In fellowship. In fellowship. Be sure that you get in fellowship before you get involved in your prayer session in relationship to whatever the things about which you're praying. The Father is propitiated, satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He's no respecter of persons as far as believers are concerned. Therefore, you and I must approach our Heavenly Father in fellowship, living our life inside the power sphere which is divine. Number seven. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, there's no doubt that He had effectiveness in prayer. When the Lord was on the earth, hypostatic union, He had what I call maximum effectiveness in prayer. You know why? Because he continually was in fellowship with the Father. In other words, he offered every prayer from his humanity to God from his proper relationship with God. Are you with me there? Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, he offered every prayer from his humanity to God the Father from a right harmony with the Father. Because he lived his life without sin, perfect, all the way through. Number 8. Now what does that do for us? The believer who's not in harmony is not only weak, but has no effectiveness in prayer. In other words, if you and I are praying out of harmony, we have no effectiveness in prayer. So we have to be sure that we understand that we're not denied the throne of grace, but there are certain stipulations and steps we have to understand before we can properly relate to God in prayer. That's number 8. Number 9. Remember that God will not answer prayer on the basis of our morality, our sincerity, being good, moral, sincere, benevolent, talented, altruistic. I mean, I'm listing a bunch of things there. Or even because we have a pleasing personality. Most of you have a pleasing personality. But you don't get to God in prayer by your pleasing personality. Remember number 9 again, that God will not answer prayer on the basis of the believer being good, moral, sincere, benevolent, religious, concerned, talented, altruistic, or even because he has or she has a pleasing personality. I can just hear someone saying, "Preacher, you're going so fast. I can't write all this down." I understand. This afternoon, get the tape, will you please? Listen to it again. Number 10. Answer to prayer is a divine decision. Could I tell you today that every prayer is answered? Oh, you say, "Well, wait a minute. Either it's yes or no or wait a while." God answers prayer. I really believe that. Does he answer it the way I want it to be answered? Not necessarily. May, but perhaps not. Because most of us pray so selfishly, don't we? And I believe the Lord understands how selfish we are. "Lord, I hurt real bad. Please take it away. Take it away now. I want you to know I have patience. I really have patience. But I want you to answer my prayer now." You see, that kind of a prayer. Answer to prayer is a divine decision. Therefore, the believer's popularity with others is not going to be a factor either. Did y'all enjoy that? 10 points. Man, I'm ready to go eat. You folks seem like you're always hungry. Every time I turn around, like I say, I hear you sing and then I hear you eat. When I go back in the fellowship hall, I hear you eat. And I'd rather hear you sing and eat, really. But anyway, so much for that. Look at this verse of Scripture in closing. Are you afflicted? Do you have problems and difficulties? No one is immune from trouble. If you have problems and difficulties, and you do, then pray. Here's what you're to do. Pray. It's a command to pray. And when you do it, understand something. You're informed to continue to pray. It's continuous action, present tense. The Lord's not going to get weary of hearing your prayers. He knows what's going on inside. It's okay to continue to pray. Understand the middle voice, that when we pray, we're going to be benefited thereby. And understand that it's an imperative verb. It's a command. We're commanded to pray. Wednesday night, we're going to see this. Look at this. Is anyone cheerful? This is the happiest group of people I've ever seen in my life. Is anyone cheerful? God bless you. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing. Let him sing. It's a command. Sing. Even when you have to sneeze, sing. Let him sing. Did you notice what the last verb is down there? We're looking at Wednesday night, present active imperative. It's a command for us to sing. Even when we don't think we can sing, we're to sing. There's to be a joyful melody in our hearts. And when we're in tune with the Lord and in fellowship with Him, there's going to be singing. You're going to enjoy singing. Whatever you do, pick these old hymns and sing them. Amazing Grace. What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Oh, some of those others that I enjoy. Every now and then I'll bounce one on you. Don't ask me to name a song. I'm going to give you one that I love. It's an old-timey song. It's peppy. It's good. Sing those songs. That's what God is saying to us. If you have joy in your heart, sing. Someone said, if you want joy, real joy, let Jesus come into your heart. If you want joy, real joy, let Jesus come into your heart. I'm talking about not only in salvation, but let Him rule and master control. And then we can come to the throne of grace, because He's commanded us to do that. And when we come to the throne of grace, we're going to find mercy and help in time of need. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank You today for Your grace and salvation, grace by which to live every day. And one of these days, that magnificent grace that will move us from this life into Your presence, where we'll be forever and ever. Not because we deserve that, but because of the fact that we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. But more than that, He's accepted us. And that's what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. May there be those now who will trust You, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Grace and peace.